little zing in the markets today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Fiat and Chrysler, a done deal. Oil's on the rise, and so are stocks. A bigger stake for Uncle Sam, and we're not talking about GM. And if you get federal bailout money, the executive washroom might get a little smaller. It's the morning open, a look at the broader economy just minutes into the trading day. First, where's Wall Street? Wall Street's mixed. Right now, the Dow up about 0.5%, but the broader S&P up also about 0.33%. NASDAQ down about 0.2%. Asian shares closed higher. The Hang Seng 4%. Markets in Europe are up right now 1.5% and 2%. Oil hit a new high for the year yesterday, above $71 a barrel, and that's in part what has markets so jolly today. We're going to check in now with Julie Neiman of Smith Moore & Company, joining us live from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So we appreciate you being here. Why are the higher oil prices translating into higher stock prices this morning?
Well, traditionally, everybody feels that higher oil prices means demand is coming back. That means the economies are recovering. Oh, no, not this time at all, because what we're looking at, stockpiles are dropping because OPEC is being very effective in withholding inventory from the market. Demand is really not back because of the recession. But what we are seeing is China is buying commodities and production, oil and gas production. That's where the demand is coming from. So this is one rare indication where we do see OPEC behaving like a cartel and withholding from it. But you simply don't have big excess supplies in the market right now.
Julie, Citigroup completed its agreement today with the government in that big, $58 billion stock swap that now gives the U.S. about a third of a stake, 34% stake in the company. I guess it's all a part of its road to stability. Or is it? Is Citi really on the right track here?
Well, you know you've got problems when the first name becomes embattled, and that's what their CEO is, Vic Pandit here. He started an interview with CNN. They basically said, you've been named one of the worst CEOs in America. Calls for your resignation. That's going to continue on. But what he is doing right now is stabilizing the company and converting half of that, the preferred stock. And then, in other words, we, the taxpayer, are not going to get that dividend anymore. That's going to have more common stock to spread more losses over. And they've got a lot of losses coming here. So this is just the first stage. What they don't have, and they're going to have to come up with, is some kind of business plan to deal with things in the future.
Yeah.
And there's no evidence of that.
All right. Julie Neiman, we appreciate you joining us this morning.
You bet.
Thanks so much. And as I mentioned at the top of this cast, Chrysler, this is according to the Associated Press, Chrysler sells its goods, assets to Fiat, and forms a new company led by the CEO of Fiat. That's breaking news this morning right now. Market's also happy about Home Depot. A few weeks ago, it reported a less than stellar guidance. Today, it's revising it to more stellar than originally thought. Instead of a 7% drop in guidance, it's saying now that continuing operations could actually be flat, or worst case, down as much as 7%. We keep hearing that President Obama's been looking for ways to rein in executive pay for companies using those bailout dollars, at least big amounts of it. Today, we could finally hear what the administration has in mind. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
The president could name a so-called pay czar at any moment. That person will be able to decide how much compensation executives at bailed-out firms can receive. Reports say the man who'll take the job is Kenneth Feinberg. He oversaw the compensation of victims of 9/11. Jim Cox teaches securities law at Duke University. He says the existence of a government-appointed overseer will affect plenty of firms that aren't even under his watch.
I really think that another aspect of the pay czar would be galvanizing investor reaction against pay packages. So we're going to see more proposals from stockholders regarding pay.
Cox says huge paychecks are fine as long as executives really deserve them. The administration has already made clear it wants to see pay tied to long-term performance rather than short-term gains. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Listening to the Morning Report for Wednesday, June 10th, 2009, at marketplace.org. We told you about oil hitting a new high for the year, the price of crude topping $71 a barrel in Europe this morning on hopes of economic recovery. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, reports.
Some sales statistics from the East have fueled the latest rise in the price of crude. New car sales in China jumped by 34% last month. That's reinforced a novel idea that Chinese consumers may help to power global economic revival. The market is also taking heart from slower rates of decline in the US and Europe. But analysts are stressing that traders are looking ahead. We're still not seeing an increase in actual demand for physical barrels of oil. Nick McGregor is with brokers Redmayne Bentley.
Investors effectively are really taking a bet on economic recovery, and they see oil as one of the major beneficiaries of any economic recovery as and when it comes.
Some analysts say that driven by this speculative momentum, the price of oil could hit $80 a barrel within a week. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Price of oil, meet price of gas at the pump. Oh yeah, they've known each other for a long, long time. And with both on the rise, it's rekindling congressional efforts to boost domestic oil and gas production. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here's Sam Eaton.
This morning, House Republicans plan to unveil a new energy plan they're calling the All of the Above Solution for Energy Independence. Expansion of renewables like wind and solar are on the table, but the proposal also calls for more nuclear power and domestic energy production. In other words, drill, baby, drill. And Michigan Republican Fred Upton says the time is right. He says with gas prices on the rise, Americans are going to want more than just green energy.
We know that energy requirements in this country in the next 20 years are going to go up by 30 to 40%. We've got to be prepared.
But it's still unclear whether Republicans can rally enough support for domestic drilling. Gas prices are still a long way from last summer's $4 peak. And environmentalists say today's voters have a better understanding of the issues and that the solution is more complicated than poking a few more holes in the ground. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
The numbers not so good for venture capital. A new survey out today confirms the investor bankrolling has slowed big time. From the Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
The National Venture Capital Association collected opinions from 700 industry leaders. It found that more than half of them will invest in fewer startups this year. VCs get their money from pension funds and other big investors, and right now, they're reluctant to take risks. NVCA President Mark Heeson says venture capitalists will only part with their cash if a company has a proven track record.
We are in a very Darwinian environment right now. The venture capital industry as a whole is going to contract, but simultaneously it's going to become more global.
To counter competition from countries like China and India, Heeson says the Obama administration should institute more open trade and immigration policies. Heeson says we'll need that edge to tap into venture capital's only growth area right now, clean technology. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
The former CIA director James Woolsey gives a talk today on how solar power can make the U.S. more secure by increasing its energy independence. It's part of a three-day conference in Philadelphia touting the bright future of solar energy. But in the short run, there are some clouds hanging over the industry, as Joel Rose reports.
You might expect a trade show of solar panel makers and installers on the West Coast, but at a convention center in Philadelphia, the Mid-Atlantic location is no mistake, says Roan Resch, president of the Solar Energy Industries Association.
This region of the country is going to grow faster over the next 10 years than the state of California, and this will be the largest market for solar.
There are about 140 exhibitors here. They're all hoping to get a share of hundreds of millions of dollars in federal incentives for solar energy. But that money isn't flowing yet, and that's having some unintended consequences.
There's a slowdown in the marketplace, people basically waiting to see what the stimulus package is going to provide for them.
Mike Finicaro is the president of Schott Solar, solar panel manufacturer based outside Boston.
There's a lot of people looking to plan for the future, but there's not a lot of short-term activity right now.
Finicaro says it could be next year before companies and consumers really start spending money on solar panels. And by then, some of these exhibitors may not be around. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
The effects of globalization are being felt in India, especially in places such as Bangalore. But there's a growing backlash by extremists against the symbols of India's globalizing economy. Many locals calling it Talibanization of India's tech hub. But the extremists aren't Muslim, they're Hindu. Raymond Thibodeau reports.
Friday night at the Hard Rock Cafe, young software engineers and call center employees sit down to beer and burgers. Western-style venues like this anger Hindu fundamentalists who say the clubs are corrupting the nation's youth. A particular offense? Women wearing blue jeans and miniskirts instead of the traditional sari. Some of the women have been beaten up by extremists.
They're able to create a fear that spreads so widely that girls are scared.
Arti Munkar works for an organization that tries to prevent violence against women. But she says Hindu extremists have also targeted Muslims, gay activists, and Christians.
It is actually a very deep program against minorities.
Over the past decade, big American companies like Microsoft and IBM have turned Bangalore into a prosperous and cosmopolitan city. But not everyone is getting a piece of the pie. Many of the region's youth have turned to extremism, not because of their religious views, but because they feel excluded, says Arvind Narain, a civil rights lawyer.
The girls who they attacked are girls who would never look at them once because of where they stand in the socio-economic hierarchy.
Narain says the global economic downturn has made things worse. He says jobless youngsters are probably behind much of the past year's fundamentalist violence, the bombings, religious rioting, and attacks on couples who dared to celebrate Valentine's Day, many of them tech workers from different parts of India. Vasath Bhavani heads the hardline Hindu group that carried out those February attacks.
After this IT sector started, I think there was a huge demand for the employees. So I think these people who have come from other states or other part of the world, they have spoiled our culture. I think they should be taught a lesson. We'll do it. We'll teach the lesson for them.
Bhavani wants Bangalore's software companies and call centers to invite them to their offices. He wants to teach the tech workers about local customs. But so far, he's had no takers. In Bangalore, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
Hey, thanks for being with us. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.